Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelley.
January 23, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And I'm going live a few minutes late on the stream. But, of course, if you're catching this further on down via your Fondle Slab of choice, your applicable application, you don't care. And besides that, is that actually the day? Is that the date? That is what they call it on the Pope's work schedule. Uh-oh, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? Why am I talking like this? Well, I've got the Greek with me, and we're going to discuss publicly something that's going to be available privately very soon. I'm really excited to discuss this with the Greek. Virtually no preparation outside of the 5-7 minutes that we just spent off air talking about it. But a new project we're going to do, and those of you that kind of missed O'Shelley and the Greek might have gotten a little upset that they took it off of YouTube because it went away with the rest of my channel. And a couple other people posted O'Shelley and the Greek stuff, and their channels got taken down too. I don't think it was because of O'Shelley and the Greek, not at all. But it is what happens, so I'm reporting it to you. Anyways, that's not really available except through my website, or really at this point only through my archive.
There's some people that have got recently. Someone downloaded in Europe. He said he's splicing and dicing. He's got 750 edits out of all the episodes. I said, "You've got the episodes all 40 hours." He says, "You know what? I got them all on a file, one of those upload cloud things."
Okay.
And he says, "You know, you say 40 hours." I said, "Yeah, it's about 40 hours. It's 40.00 exactly."
Yeah.
Think about the synchronicity on that. I mean, when do you get all those random episodes together? And it ends, I said, "It's about 40 hours." He says, "No, it's 40 hours exactly to the second 0004. I was like, "Whoa, okay," because I like that number 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the middle of 7, right? So,
And neither of us.
Have them, by the way. All of them. I've never listened to them ever. I can't stand the way something about echo. You know, when you hear yourself. I mean, I don't know if you like the way you sound, but I don't like the way I sound. It's amazing. I'm still doing this with anyone or speaking.
I hate the sound of my voice. I've done more than 2,000 of my own presentations, right? And I hate listening to them, even the few seconds I have to edit them. I don't like my voice at all. I love my presenters. I like the sound of your voice. But I can't stand it. I hear myself. I cringe. I don't like it.
Now, well, the thing is also there's the printing option. Someone has 75 pages of transcripts and sort of rewrites that were sent to me also in a book form, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten emails that are in excess of 25 to 30 pages, like treatises on just collections of what I've said all grouped together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of stuff out there. There used to be that can't – I mean, actually, let me take that back. There's not much out there at all.
Right.
But there's stuff that can be put out there. It's just a quick guide. You know, this is for people who want to see the world for what it really is, not for what they think it is, or that's the operative word, thinking. But – what they've been told and raised in, you know, it's not like that at all. So if you want to see things the way they are, not because I know how they are, but I have a certain knack of getting to, cutting through all the stuff very quickly. So, and sharing it with other people is the way to go. And also a lot of people, I've mentioned this in the past with you, Chuck, is I'll go out and I'll start speaking in a public market or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have a crowd of people within 5 minutes around me if it's not too busy. And always someone in there will yell out, "Hey, why don't you write a book?" Right? And I'm like, "No, because if you write a book and publish it, what you're doing is actually presuming that whoever reads that book has any comprehension, right?"
Well, yeah, so that's the trouble. Look, let me just run this by you, because I didn't get these different treatises that you did, but I did get one in a PDF form that they titled Planet Earth for Dummies.
Yeah, I think you shared that a little bit. I didn't look at it, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but it was interesting because it was not just you and me, but the shows you did with Seth, there were parts of, and a bunch of different things. And he sent it to me just out of courtesy. He says, "Well, you know, you're mentioned in here, so I figured I should send you a copy." but I don't think he distributed it very widely.
No. But hold on a second. Yeah. Let's go back. It couldn't have been me because I don't do shows.
Well, no, it wasn't. Okay, now here we go. It's a Sonic event, that's for sure.
All right.
Right.
Very important. No, you know, this thing called the Legal Society, they wrap you up with words, right?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what all these secrets, you know, the secret handshake, the secret symbols. Well, the Legal Society overtly puts out, they tell you it's legalese, but no one cares, right? So they disregard the significance of it. That's why they're treated so harshly. You know, they've been but look, words are very important, you know, and I've never stressed that, right? Mm. Because I don't think I'm impeccable in my communication, but I'm a lot better than most in terms of communicating what I want to communicate, you know, in terms of the subject matter. You know that we could take a particular subject, you and I, in 1 hour, dissect it or pretty much impart more useful information than you'll get in a 4-year college degree, right? On whatever subject it is. Mm-hmm. So, that's not words. That's really putting words to stimulate thinking and making people aware of their surroundings. But when I say words, I mean the actual word itself, the way it sounds and the way you read it and the way you understand it has an effect on the mind. Mm-hmm. And your mind has an effect on, your mind is what interacts with the environment, right? Like people say, well, you know, you see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. No, you see with your brain, right? You see with your mind and you see with your ears, and magicians know that, mm-hmm. right? The legerdemain, prestidigitation, they know that if they make a flamboyant motion, you're going to look there, and then they make a subtle motion to produce the trick, right? So that's not with the eyes, because you see all of it, but you don't pay attention to the subtle part is where they produce the trick, let's say, right?
Right.
So it's always, you know, you hear with your, you know, most people that have eye and ear damage, not all, but most, it's actually, they examine the actual instrument known as the ear and all the accompanying components, and the instrument known as the eye and all the accompanying components, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's fully functional with intolerances. It's really happening in the mind, mm-hmm. in the brain. You see? So that's where the words go directly to. Words bypass senses. So maybe we'll save this for a Sonic event. Here's one thing. Mm-hmm. One thing that we do with Ocelli and the Greek stuff is, you ever notice that whenever we bring up any subject, I always, 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 every time make a practical example that is fully tangible and accessible to the listener?
Oh, of course. Like, for instance, we use the, we show people etymology online. And say, look, I mean, since you're talking about words.
For definitions, yeah, right. Or origins of words. Right, because a dictionary is diction, how to pronounce the word. It's not the meaning of the word. That changes. See, they did the dictionary because they wanted all the plebeians to pronounce the word similarly. Right. But the definitions change. Like, a good one is ground zero. Ground zero is a technical term that has to do with nuclear or atomic detonations, right?
Right.
So, anyway.
But the vernacular of ground zero has changed over time and has become adapted to mean different things.
Right. So for very good reasons.
Right.
Because it was a slip. The reason it was called ground zero initially, you know, down there in Manhattan, mm-hmm. is because that was coined, that was actually used in, not in common parlance, but because someone was asking, what are you guys doing here? We're here, we can't talk, we're at ground zero, and then it blew up from there. It was actually used in its true technical form.
Right.
The inspectors that went there. But the common examples are, for example, when we talked about the container, the human body, eating seasonally, you know, or when you have a wound or whatever, it's very practical. Very, very, very practical. So this is super practical stuff. And what I'd like to get into is, you know, I always say never share, I always give this as advice too, never share more than 10%, you know, off the bat what you know about something.
Right.
Right? Because someone's going to want to act like an asshole and debate you on whatever. You should never debate either, right? Mm. Once you understand what you want to do with the information, which is use it to help yourself and help others, you have to help yourself first, right? Mm-hmm. And you give up, you know, more and more as the need and the situation arises, and there are many situations arise. You know, you can be a teacher and use it as a vocation, but then you have to get something for it. Or you could just do it to genuinely help, but for altruistic reasons, but not too altruistic, because if you know what the world is and you see the world for what it really is, right, you will tone down, you'll actually be much more conservative and much more conservative in a sense that more efficient. Like, you know, all these people, by the way, that you hear out there screaming, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, and they're complaining about the corporations and the politicians. They don't see the world for what it really is. They see the world through the lens that they were raised in, the collective, the masses, right?
And the other thing is,
if you know what the world really is, you will not be mad. And by the way, if they told you they were going to make the world a total hell and everyone's going to start killing each other, you'll say, fine. And if you say, they say we're going to make the world a paradise, you'll say, fine. But either way, whether you want to make it into a total disaster hell, overtly, or total paradise, I want nothing to do with it. Mm. You see?
Well, there it is, the other option. You know, people started to use the metaphorical instruments of the red pill, the blue pill, you know. And I objected to that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Take them both. Take both of them, man. It's cool. Take both at the same time.
Well, there's that. Or how about this option? I don't want your pills. You know, how about that?
But look, if you didn't, okay, yeah, of course. Well, you know, obviously you don't want to be in that situation like the Castaneda on Don Juan. He says, well, if you think you're so aware and all that, what if someone, he's pressing the old man, he's saying, what if someone in the distance has got a high-powered sniper rifle with a high-powered scope and they got it trained on your head and they're ready to pull the trigger, what are you going to do then? He says, I would never be in that situation. I would never think of that, right?
Mm.
So I would never be in a situation where I had a choice to take a pill. But it's very simple. It's kind of like the pessimist and the optimist. Is the glass half empty and it was the glass half full? Well, did you ever entertain that if that is an issue, the glass is too big?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if the glass were a lot smaller, you would never entertain, is it half full or half empty, because it's to the top.
Yeah, if it were half the size, it would be full already, and there would be no debate.
Exactly. There's no issue. So the thing is, it's not whether it's half full or half empty to see what one's perspective. You approach life as an engineer above that, and you say, well, either question is denoting that you're complaining about the size of the glass, not what my perspective, you see.
Well, yeah, because the perspective is irrelevant if, you know.
Right, but if you say the glass is half empty or half full, one is a pessimist, one is an optimist. This is the training, you know, like the bullshit they put out there. But if you say the glass is too big,
right,
does that make you a pessimist or an optimist, you see? That's a neutral position, isn't it?
Well, is that a neutral position, or is that someone saying, look, if the glass is too big, then perhaps Your problem is you wish to shape the things around you instead of accepting them.
And that's what everyone does anyway.
Well, there you have it. There's the punchline. I wasn't going to get to it right away, but there it is, right?
That's what you do anyway.
That is the
issue. If you're happy with the one size fits all,
yeah,
they've got plenty of those.
Well, see, and that's the thing that always bothered me. Why, even though I've done plenty of my own Sonic events, right? I've always been pushed by the listeners, and I listen to them. I always take into account what it is they say, but they're always at me about, you know, you need to debate this. You need to confront this. You need to. And I say, well, I am not really interested in the argument. I'm more interested in sharing information. And the best information, the best quality information I can get on a particular subject, on a particular, this is what I try to do. And this is indeed what I have done. And it's very odd.
The same thing, the blue pill and the red pill. You brought it up, right? The blue pill is you just go on, and the red pill is you see what it really is, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then later on we find out it's even beyond that when he meets the architect, right? Because the architect tells him that what you think is real still is design. So, but this is the interesting thing. You do both because if you can give quality information on what most people are harping about. Oh, we got bad politics. Oh, there's chemtrails. Oh, the vax or an anti-vax. Oh, okay, that's the blue pill stuff, right? Mm. The red pill stuff is, of course it makes sense that you have this or this, because look, you see, historically, they told you why it's going to be like this. See, look, there's someone I know that lives in North Carolina, and about 10 years ago, he went down to Congress with some other people. He has some credentials. And he went to a congressman's office. You know, when they're in session, they're there for like a week or two. They show up every day in their office. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know any of the codes and stuff, what, you know, definitions. They didn't know any of the major congressional acts. They didn't know at all, nothing. They're just sitting there, you know, whatever. They watch CNN, and whatever the CNN brings up is, and they have handlers tell them what to think and say. All right, so that would be red pill. The mm-hmm. blue pill would go to the congressman and ask them about why, you know, what CNN says, basically, or Fox, or whatever, what everyone's talking about. Why did you approve this? And, you know, or why did you, the whole thing
you,
is
can't you do
right?
something about this or that? Yeah, yeah, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. That's the, if well, the moment you start addressing what they're doing, you miss the point, right? Because they're not they don't exist. They're just placeholders. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like someone I know. I frequent this hardware store, and they're always getting new employees, and they're much older. In the retirees.
I bet
what
in the past few years especially, they're older, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. And mm-hmm. and one guy says, teach history. I said, you know, it's all fiction. So you worked in fiction, basically. And he says, no. And I just, you know, basically gave him an earful in 14 seconds. 15 seconds, he was turning red. But basically, if you look at history, I've looked at history books from the 19th century, mm-hmm. right? I lived in New York City. I had access to the New York City Public Library. And even then, in the late 80s and early 90s, when I would spend hours and hours every week there, I noticed books being taken away back then.
Right.
So,
although you must say that a public library like that in New York was quite extensive, as compared to,
I was able to sit at the same place where Nikola Tesla sat. Mm-hmm. I knew that because it had a little plaque here. This is where Nikola Tesla would come and pull his wife. I said, I'm going to sit here.
Right.
So, you know what I'm talking about. The New York Public Library, the one with the lions outside, you know, on 40 Deuce and 5th. Yeah.
Right, right. They filmed that movie, what was it, the thing about the natural disaster, the, like, you know, the winter bomb coming through and freezing the earth.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's right by Bryant Square Park there.
Right, right, right.
You know, they have a bathroom in Bryant Square Park. It's a beautiful marble bathroom with flowers in that park. It costs $250,000 a year to maintain. Have you used that bathroom there? It's beautiful.
I never used it, but I've heard.
Oh, it's the outside. It's in the park. Anyway. We can start talking about stuff that might be irrelevant, but here, it's important. The other thing is, can you communicate it? Do you have a good memory, and do you see the difference? So, in other words, go back to the hardware store retiree that used to teach high school history.
Used to teach history, yeah.
Yeah, I basically said to him, in the next few years, you'll go to college-level history, and you'll open it, and it'll just be a picture of Daffy Duck and Mickey Mouse. That's where it's at right now. It's all just so bizarre. It doesn't make any sense. It makes sense. Like if you went through a book, you with no cover, you know, didn't have anything, a blank cover, and you opened it and you saw cartoon characters, it makes total sense, right? Because this is just obviously a book of fictional cartoon characters. There's nothing to get angry about, right? But the minute you write "this is history" on it, well, now you have a reason to be pissed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So I don't mind that what they're printing in universities, forget about high school and all that. That's junk. First of all, I stopped my education at the eighth grade, you know, meaning through the public school and private school system. Mm. After the eighth grade, I just went la-la. I didn't pay attention to anything at all, enough to get by, because I knew it was damaging. It was total crap. And this is, you know, 13 or whatever, but I didn't go to the eighth grade, by the way. I went from 7 to 9. But anyway, they wanted to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, you know, a general, if I say eighth grade, you get a picture. So you don't need that. But here's the thing. The moment you take that book of cartoon characters and fictional stories and you say this is history, you still shouldn't get mad. You know why? Because all these history books, they just say they're history, American history, European history, world history. You see the book on the binder, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know why you still shouldn't get upset? Because it doesn't say true history, does it?
No, it doesn't. And the fascinating thing about that is what I call historiography.
Right, but it doesn't say true history, so you still don't have a... So when you turn on the TV and they tell you Ground Zero now means this, it doesn't mean it's the true meaning, does it?
Well, that's the thing about this. I want to actually ask you a question, because here we go. Historiography. Okay, now I know I'm using some of the words here that, you know...
Yeah, it just means the writing or pictures or written somehow.
Well,
about history.
It's about history, the history of history, in other words, right?
Yeah, so, the writing of history, literally.
Yeah, so what's interesting to me about this is, look, if you and I were to go back in time and open up a history book, okay, during the same time period, because I finished the 12th grade, but only because I thought I needed this high school diploma, you know, and also they told me I couldn't. So these were two things that motivated me
to
do
so. Oh, no, hold on. If you're 13 years old, you could get a GED and you're done with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. But
that's
the way I
tell people all the time. Get them out of this. Just get a GED equivalency at 13 and get the hell away.
Well, I would have been better off. But I did finish up to the 12th grade. So if you and I were to go back to the time when I was in high school and open up a history book, it is not written the same way, even though... Let's just say they were describing the 1960s, or they were describing the 1860s, or the 1760s. It's irrelevant. It is now written entirely differently if we go to that very same classroom today and go ahead and take a look at their history book. It's a different history. The history is now different.
Look, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. When did it make it to the history books? Not until the early 19th century, 400 years almost later, 300 such years. So what happened 100 years ago is not going to make it into the history books for another 300 years. But it won't matter because everything's going to be shut down and lost. And very soon, by the way, meaning, you know, within a decade.
Well, even the French with their literal terminology perspective, used to have this idea that you could not adequately write about a historical event until 75 years after its occurrence.
Sure, sure. In rabbinical lore, it's 100.
Right.
You know, in the Judean Jewish culture.
Right. It must
religion,
be 100.
It's 100 years. Yeah.
100 years according to their calendar, right? So.
Right, which they were very tricky about falsifying too, because if you look up the Hebrew New Year, what year it is, it's 300 years off because they need to hide certain things.
Right. But I'm just saying, according to their calendar, it ends up being 100 years. So, but either way.
That's why you don't want to use a calendar. You want to use lawful time.
Well, but there you have it. And there goes the very first lesson, I think, that we went through, the very first sonic event. That we went through, I think, was just that. Was discussing.
Well, look, Septem is 7, Octo is 8, Novum is 9, Decem is 10, January is 11.
Mm-hmm.
So it's around the 18th day, and we go by the moon does the month, the sun does the day. The equinox, which is a measurement at night, does the change of seasons from 1 to 7, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what, by the way, the cockroaches, the birds, the whales, the plants, the oceans, they go by what I'm saying.
Right.
Right? So if you completely, you know, the materialist will detach from that and go, there's more and more people that are talking about what a scam the calendar is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And more people are talking about what a scam all religions are, right?
Well,
the other day,
someone
was talking about the Catholics and the Protestants, how they're very different. I say, okay, I know they're very different because the Catholics say Santa Claus has got a size shoe 10, 10 size shoe, and the Protestants say he has a size 8. But if you tell them that there's no Santa Claus, what happens? Then it's like dumping the water on the Witch of the West. They both disappear. You see?
Right, right.
There's no, you see my point? What size, you're going to argue what size shoe, and most people say Greek, that's not what they're arguing, but I know, but look, nothing, there's no, right?
It's as relevant as,
right.
Because...
That's what they're arguing, yeah, exactly, thank you.
You know, it's like telling you, look, I believe the Tooth Fairy can fly, you don't. The Tooth Fairy has to take a bus. Well, you know, what is the difference between the two?
Here's the thing, you can't go, quote unquote, in a debate or an argument with these people. Whether, you know, red pill, blue pill, or the Catholic, Protestant, whatever, politician, unless you know their stuff. You have to know their stuff.
Right.
So the thing is, you don't detach and say, that's not from, you see a lot of the New Agers, I don't know anything, you know, they don't know anything about the systems of the world, they want to do this airy-fairy stuff, and you got to know both. So that's what I say, take the blue pill, take the red pill, right?
Right.
And we talked about how these things work. In other words, when you take something into the body, you don't absorb it, right? Your body has to recognize it, and then it goes to work on it. So,
if I give you the secrets of the universe in Sanskrit, you can't read it, what's the point? You know, I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
It's, you know, the secrets of the universe are written in every language. It's just, can you piece it together?
There you have it. But what I'm saying is, if there is no chance at comprehension to begin with, there is no point. So you got to find a common way in order to relate these things to people. That is always the troublesome thing. And I got to tell you, it's gotten strange. As we discussed years ago, and I was thinking about this, I think we started, what year did we start according to, you know, the Pope's work
what
they,
schedule? Around 8 years ago, let's say.
8 years
However
ago.
However you want to figure it out. Yeah, it was like, yeah. What, fall, spring? It's fall, around the fall of 8 years ago. Yeah.
I believe it was
so
fall.
So seven,
yeah.
7 years and 6-7 months.
Something like that. And the
2015 is what the date on some of these things are.
The thing about it is those conversations back then, even with the common, say, parlance of the day, do not match up anymore because there have been all these shifts, like you were talking about. Now they've given you a new definition, they've given you a new meaning.
No, but hold on a second. They do match up in a prophetic way. That stuff that we discussed there, that I gave very stark warnings about, have come true.
Yes. Well, that's where I was going. Is that regardless of the fact that, and it sounded to some people, and I heard from many people about this, you know. Especially one guy that, I'm not going to mention his name, actually. I don't wish to evoke it. But the thing is, this guy said to me at the time, this guy is trying to start a cult. And I said,
not at all.
I don't think so. You know, it's possible I could be being fooled.
What I'm trying to do is find other like-minded people so my life gets a little easier.
Well, it does.
So instead of getting up at 3 in the morning and thinking about something for 3 hours, I could say, hey, I could go back to sleep because tomorrow I'm going to call so-and-so and we'll have a little talk about it.
Well, right.
You see what I mean?
And that is, but that is the process. And, but it's so...
A cult would be like that Star Trek episode where they go to a planet and the guy's there alone and he makes robots to be his friends. Something like that. That's a cult.
I suppose so. I mean, maybe it's, there's a lot of Star Trek stuff we could go into.
But cults are easy to form.
Yes.
All these whistleblowers and all these guys, you know, they say they're whistleblowers and many things, you know, and whatever. They're easy to get. You can pull a lot over the public's eyes and get them to believe stuff very quickly and adamantly and take their money or take their wives or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, then that means that you are doing it because you're part of the world. Like the people that are wealthy are at the top of a shit heap. And what they get as a prize is a polished turd, right? So,
of course.
You know, that's essentially what the cults do.
Well, right.
No.
But what I wanted to get at here is this other problem that has emerged. And the funny thing is, if you had listened to those early episodes, not you, Greek, obviously, but you listening to us, anyone, if you'd listened to those early episodes, you would have heard the warning that we were going to enter a time where just the act of communication was going to become challenged. And it has happened in, I mean, you know.
Not
like,
yet.
I don't think not yet. I think it's already happening.
Not yet. The censorship is not it. There's going to be, okay, when.
Well, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get shut down. Internet's going to shut down just like some kind of, you know, accident. They're going to blame it on something, of course. It's going to be ridiculous, just like the pandemic thing.
Okay.
Blame.
I want to go to the internet, but let's slow it down a little, okay? Because I want to get to something else. It's not about the internet. It's not about that kind of communication. What I'm saying is that the ability to simply observe something and mutually be able to say, look, this is what this is being challenged, is being defied. It seems like with people attempting to converse with one another, okay, where they literally look at the same thing, and we now have the observation being more important than the reality of the thing. And this keeps happening over and over again. And this is why people, it's like there is no point in that debate, even if you wanted to be victorious in debates and things like that. At this point in time, what I observe, understand, is that we are in a time when the censorship is changing. Because now there is even less of an ability to have a common, you know, what they call, again, and we'll go to the legal system for a second, where you stipulate to something, okay?
Sure. But it's all controlled.
Well,
the censorship was controlled. I think I warned of it, because you're going to go into an ultra-conservative return to lawfulness, supposedly, and it's all done by the same people. And this is going to be in the next few years. All right, 2025 is a benchmark time, especially if you see the geographic political changes in the Middle East that I've talked about. But
it's all controlled.
In other words, the censorship and lifting of the censorship. Look, information is like traveling. Mm-hmm. So the purpose of 9/11 was to restrict travel.
Right.
And travel is also information. In other words, whether it's by post or digital or whatever, the only difference with digital is that it can be instant, meaning within 20 minutes something can go around the world several times with audio and video. Mm-hmm. So that's a form of traveling. The freedom or the openness of the internet is by design, and shutting it down is by design. Just like years ago, you were able to build a car or buy a car and drive around freely. And now you have to have license, your insurance, registration, and all this other stuff, right?
Right, right.
So the same thing is going to happen with the internet.
There's already in place.
I assure you by 2025, what I'm talking about is the restructuring of information flow will happen by then. Most likely it'll be in the fall of 2023, 2024, or by 2025 for sure.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up now, because I'm saying that we already see the indicators of what's coming, because the ability to stipulate between two people about seemingly anything.
Well, hold on a second. Where are the people? On one of the Sonic events we went through this. Less than 5% of the people, quote unquote, of whatever billions they say exist, are really people. If you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Well, look.
The rest are just. You can call them NPCs. Call them shells, husks. Space heaters, you know, because they take up space, give off heat. Talking about, this is on a spiritual level. They could be your family members. They could be your children. They could be your parents. They could be your coworkers. They could be your boss.
Right. But on a spiritual level.
I fortunately have the ability to spot them very quickly, and I teach other people how to do it. And we will actually talk about how to spot them in the future when we get this thing started, OMG reboot.
That's something that we're going to need to address.
And I assure you, it'll be nothing you've ever heard before.
Well, and
that's the other thing. Yeah. The last thing I want to hear is, the Greek's just talking about what he talked about before. You're not going to get any of that. Mm-hmm. Do a quick rehash, but you're going to hear stuff you've never heard anywhere before. I assure you that.
Well, and it's also going to be done in a tighter format, because we used to do the two-hour show. That's how we started with the two-hour presentation.
How am I going to
sorry
break
about
you
the
that
show?
Show
yeah, I'm sorry. I knew you were going to complain.
You caught yourself. I felt it on the telepathic highway.
Yeah, my apologies.
But the two-hour Sonic event. Are you saying we shouldn't be 2 hours?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you require it, and I don't think it's necessary. As a matter of fact, I think that we'll be able to do it in less than 1 hour, according to the. And that's another thing. People are even starting to argue about time, which was a common stipulation between people, right?
Too long, you mean?
I think it is too long, the 2 hours for us.
I think it can be the 2 hour format.
I think we can do it in one. But if you want to do two.
And it could always be a part two.
Yeah, I think there is no harm in breaking it down, because this stuff.
Yeah, let's do two so they can digest it.
That's what I'm thinking, is that, you know what, it's wonderful to have, you know,
how often you want to do it? Once a week, twice a week? I think twice a week is pretty good. So each week is part one, part two, maybe?
That was the thing I wanted to find out from you, because really, honestly, I mean, I'm busy at creating Sonic elements constantly. So this is what I'm going to be doing anyway. It's more about what you have time to do. If you want to do it twice a week, I think that's perfect.
I got an idea. You ready?
Go ahead.
We'll do 1 hour a week, like you said, and then the second hour I'll just do it on my own and then send it over to you and it gets uploaded. We have 1 hour with Ocelli and the Greek, and then an hour of the Greek.
Oh, if you like the 2 hours.
I think 2 hours on a topic is not enough. So if you get 4 hours on a topic from the Greek, it's like getting a graduate master's degree on the subject. Not because I'm, you know, whatever. It's just like, look. I get emails, right? And I don't answer them anymore because I'm not getting the right messages.
Well, do you think that it would serve us better to do just like a singular 3 hour presentation then?
I think being conservative with your time is paramount at the moment. Until we get a response. So, I think an hour with you and I Mm-hmm. And then an hour or 2 hours, I'll send you, I could record it on the, you know, on the whatever and send you the file and then you upload it.
Okay.
Just to be conservative on your time. And also less wear and tear on you. And wear and tear meaning, you know, oh man, I've got, you know what, 20 hours, 30 hours a week, you know, I'm talking, you know, eventually it's gonna, you know, it's gonna, you know, break you down, right?
Well, right. But I mean, this is well worth, and here's the thing. It's about priority. This is well worth my time. So I'm not objecting
okay.
to doing.
All right, we'll see how it goes. I think, I think let's do, you know, whatever it works. But I think we'll base it on the feedback that we get. Look, I was going to say this. I read all the emails I get on the Uncommon, radio, mm-hmm. but I haven't been responding to them for about a year. And the reason why is because I see it doesn't go anywhere. This is the 90% of the emails out of this, like 3,000 or 4,000 emails that I've gotten. Mm-hmm. 90% of them are broken down as two. They're all identical. One of them is, hey, where can I get more information on your stuff? I can't find it anymore. Or are you doing any more? Mm-hmm. Okay. Me. Feed me like the little birds.
Right.
The other one, so it's like, okay, nothing about, like, what can I do to help? I do this and that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, because they're used to that, you know, you lead, I follow. I'm not looking for that. Okay, the other emails that I get is, hey, Greek, your stuff is great. It's the best stuff I've heard. I'm like, that's another garbage email because I know my stuff is great, not because I'm saying from an ego point of view. If it wasn't great, I wouldn't have the urge, or good, I wouldn't have the urge to be
well, it's
doing
not
it.
It's not because you're great. It's because the information
the stuff is
great.
Good. Right. I would like to write it or coach. Look, like talking about debates, you know, mm-hmm. someone wanted academic wanted to debate me and I said, no, but I'll get into the debate, the answer to that. But basically, don't tell me my stuff is good. First of all, it's not my stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not me. The only reason I'm saying is I'm embarrassed for humanity that no one else is. You see, so those 90% of the emails I get are those two categories. Give me more, or your stuff is good, your stuff is good. I know. So I'm not getting any quality feedback at all. So why should I be, part of it, you know, why should I continue? But the other thing is, why don't we go to the next step? Why don't we go to the stuff that I've been sitting on for two decades or a decade or 5 years? I'm coming up with new stuff all the time, not coming up as in terms of creation, mm-hmm. but discovering and piecing things together. Why don't we just go to the next level? So we gave 10%. Let's go 11, 12, 13, 15, 20%, 25, 30, 40, 50% more okay. and see what response is because we're at a different, you know, we're on a different part in reality right now, right?
Right.
So that's it. So, by the way, if you do send emails, yeah, I read everything, but I don't respond because it's for the reason that I said. The purpose of really being public initially, even back in the days of Vinnie Eastwood, 20, and before that with Seth on Revolution Radio back in like 2010, mm-hmm. and with some talk shows and all that, was to find other like-minded people. Right.
Right.
So we can work on these things and you know, am I going crazy? That the Pope's work schedule is a piece of rubbish? Or, you know, am I going crazy that we're on legal time and we don't know what lawful time is anymore? Am I going insane? You know, I need to bounce this off with other people, right?
Right.
You know, am I going crazy because I look at the human body and it's completely sealed. Nothing passes through the skin or the intestines or any of the organs. And it's just like a steel belted tire. You know, am I going crazy that I see that this is by induction and not absorption? Is there anybody else out there? Work with me.
No, I understand. Much like I tried to explain, and people think I'm nuts with the whole thing about the sun and, you know, how it does not actually, provide light. It's not a giant light bulb in the sky. And that's just observable to me. Been through that many a time. And, you know, I don't know. It just ricochets off of people's ears, so to speak. I get it. I get it. Of course, you have a lot of information that, that you've been able to put together concisely and present. You know, and I'm rattling around this idea as to whether we should start with 2 hours. I don't know. You know, we could just go for the 2 hours and do it twice a week. I think the twice a week intervals are probably the best idea, but I'm trying to think about the amount of time should be in each one.
You're overthinking.
Okay.
Wait till you see the subject matter. Hmm. We haven't even discussed what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, that's the thing. I think we can frame it as we go.
And it's pretty easy. It's the same stuff we talked about before, but further. Because what else is there? If you look at all the subjects we covered, I mean, is there any other subject that we didn't cover that's of any importance at all?
No, not much. I mean, you explained. And, yeah, go ahead.
It, well, let's say we want to talk politics and why people are unhappy, are we going to discuss it the way everyone else is? And should we? Because if you take the red pill and the blue pill together, what the hell, right? What's going to happen? It's neither.
Right.
You've got to take the blue. Look, like we said earlier, if you're going to go into any kind of a viable discussion, viable to them, because first of all, you know, with the religion stuff, someone who has a particular faith in a conventional religion is not good in the head, right? It's not, it's not sane, right? This is a very well known, it's a fact. It's well established.
Right.
If you're going to have a viable discussion, meaning what they think is viable, right? You have to know their stuff. You can't go into even a basic conversation with someone and everything you're saying is completely new to them or different. They're going to shut down. They're going to go into complete dissonance.
Right.
So you have to resonate with them, but you have to show them with their own stuff what's going, it's contradicting.
Mm-hmm.
But look, the political stuff is not understood very simply because you've never been taught the situation of any national, let's say, status, any country.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the status of any country, you'll notice that they don't exist anymore. We're living under a worldwide, what do you want to call it, umbrella, auspice of control.
Right.
So then you see how it became that way, and then the rest of it's irrelevant.
Oh, right. Well, if you're... See, but there's that other point of view about becoming a citizen of the world or of the planet, this kind of thing, where, you know, how about we face that? We are all, indeed, breathing, right? And by the way, that's another thing that came up in a recent question, which was one of the most relevant questions, because a bunch of people sent me feedback about they were happy to hear that we would return to doing some sort of sonic presentation. But... there was a question about spirit, okay? So I want to address that, actually, because I did assure that individual that I would address it with you. Because we discussed this before, what is a spirit, and what is spirit in general? And I know I started off that discussion, according to my memory, about talking about how there is, What do you do when you conspire? Well, you breathe together. See how the word spirit starts to come up? Okay, because you are cooperating. That is the con which makes you work together. Okay, and you're breathing together. That's the root of the word conspiracy, right? So the thing is that when one does these things, you know, the spirit is the breath.
Okay, hold on, Chuck.
Yeah.
All right,
I think I gave
the analogy. You know what dendrochronology is? It's like, you know, it's dendro's tree chronology's time. These guys that study tree rings and all this other stuff. And I used to have these academics come over here and talk to me, and I said, "Look, I'll listen to your dendrochronology thesis if you can explain to me how a blade of grass grows."
Okay.
And they can't.
Mm-hmm.
So how the hell are you going to deal with trees, which are far more complex and substantial than a blade of grass, if you know nothing about a blade of grass? So the spirit is very simple. Let's use the botanical analogy.
Okay.
So someone's got an ailment, and the quote-unquote establishment can't figure out a remedy for it or a cure.
Mm-hmm.
So they discover, someone discovers, whether it's through tradition, rediscovered, it was lost, or by experimentation, a particular plant leaf, if you take that extract or eat the plant, it cures or relieves the ailment.
Okay.
You with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, someone who's spiritual is going to study where the plant grows, what the plant looks like, the seasonality of the plant, and all this. But a materialist, the first thing that they want to do is they want to take the plant and find out what chemical in the plant is in there that cured, and make a pill.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference?
Well, yes, because one would want to use
the energy,
the plant, the actual thing itself, which collected the energy, okay, and actually use it.
What the plant represents, and when it goes back to what the ailment that what made the individual seek the remedy was the ailment, and the ailment is an energetic problem that manifests physically. When you see a house burn down in a fire, that's an energetic problem. Yeah, the fire, but fire is energy, right?
Right.
The heat, it's the heat. You could, you know, if you had, let's say, a big plasma ray, you could vaporize the house or whatever. Also, it's not the plasma, it's not the fire, the house is gone. It's the energies. Once it was there, now it's not. That's the realm of spirit. It's a non-material thing. Mm-hmm. So how do you break the brainwashing? Look, recently there's this little thing that went between people and made them sick, right? The virus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. And, you know, the deeper you get, it doesn't exist, right? It does. What they're calling a virus is mitochondria in the blood from broken down tissue and liver dysfunction, just like, anyway. So the energy, for example, you know, a male and a female are different energies.
Right.
Right? Summer and winter, different energies.
Right.
Right? The moon and the sun, different energies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you go within each species, you know, a chihuahua has different energy than, let's say, a mastiff, bull mastiff, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, when you start looking at the energies, there's an ancient Taoist way, I refer back to it, why reinvent it? If something's good enough, use it, right?
Of course.
Like we're using the English language right now. Imagine we invented a new language and wanted to do Ocelli in the Greek. Well, they have to learn the language first, otherwise no one would understand what we're talking about.
Correct.
So when you're going to discuss spirit, you have to use the language of spirit. And sadly to say, if you start using that language, speaking English, by the way, no one will understand what you're talking about, because it's a foreign language to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to see the difference between male and female physically, but what's interesting about it, the energy level is also the type of energy that one exudes is also easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
But, you know, I think we went into this before. You know, we were discussing the effects of the moon on the tides, and, you know, if any good farmer's almanac, you certain things, if they're not planted during the full moon, they just don't come up, right?
Right, right.
Well, you know, is it the light of the moon? No, it's the energy of the moon. So teaching the language or learning the language or acquiring the language, I don't think it could be taught. I think it can only be acquired. You know, the difference of teaching and acquiring, right? Teaching usually means you have a teacher and a student. Acquiring means you pick it up and find it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But it's nice, like if you're changing a tire on the side of the road, you know how to change it, it's fine. But if someone comes along and helps you, doesn't, you know, more hands make the work a lot lighter, right?
Of course, yeah.
So that's the purpose of it. I found you cannot teach anyone anything. It's best if they acquire it and you just help them along, if you're able to do it.
Oh, I told you I used to train people, in business. That was one of my main jobs, and that's exactly what I used to do is, no, I'm going to have you do this, and I will assist you along the way. And that was the best methodology for them to retain any of the routines or any of the things that they had to know in order to go on in their circumstances, whether it was a cashier or teaching somebody lottery or teaching them how to keep books or whatever. That's what it was always. No, you're going to do it, and I'm going to guide you a bit.
Yeah, they have to have, in Spanish they call it ganas, means it's a desire. If you don't have the desire, it's an innate desire. Sometimes you might have a desire that you want to acquire knowledge or acquire something, and you didn't know you had that desire until it was somehow introduced to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times do you hear, you know, people took a career path, and it was very different from what they thought it would be, because one day they walked in and heard about something, and then their whole life changed in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
That desire, it's not that their whole life changed and they suddenly developed. That desire was latent. It was sitting there. It was not sparked. It wasn't turned on. They just needed that one little spark.
Right.
You see?
Right. Well, and there is we talked also about the inspiration. See, here comes that spire, that word again, huh?
That's right. Look up the word. It's very interesting word, inspiration. It's divine. It's part of that. That's the thing we'll get into with the NPCs. Most people do not have the divine in them.
Right. Well, unfortunately, yeah, the namaste, if you will. You know, that is an interesting little phrase that means quite a bit more than people give it credit for. But the idea of recognizing the divine in another, as you recognize it within yourself, is a fair and lawful thing to do.
The ones that are locked up in the concerns of this world and get angry about the way things are going or not happy with the way things are going are the ones that have diminished spark. And then there are those that are below that, which are the great masses. By the way, when I talk about people being moronic and uneducated, I'm not talking about the masses. I'm talking about the academics.
Oh, of course.
So can you imagine if the academics are viewed as being the elite, intellectual elite, what they are? Not even worth talking about. By the way, when you hear Greek speak, me, whoever you is, I am not addressing the masses, the public, the collective, the space eaters, the population at large. I am not addressing them at all. So when I say moronic, I'm talking about your professionals.
Right.
I think I've made a point of this already years ago.
Oh no, you did. You did. But it's well worth repeating. Cuz you know,
it's not the masses. That's a given. That's, by the way, if people, you hear times are changing, right? The times are what the masses have always been looked down upon and whatever. Look, I've pulled out pieces of work from ancient Persia, from ancient Greece, from 1,000 years ago, you know, which is, you know, half the time. And I've read the paragraph or a few sentences to someone, and they said, when do you think this was written? Oh, this sounds like the way we're going today. I said, this was written 2,000 years ago.
Hmm.
About the masses, right?
Right, right. But it's still, look, but that's the thing, is that some things do not change. When it comes to the levels of control and the high control systems that exist, they exist because they work, first of all, and secondly, there is always going to be a hierarchy. So therefore, this is what we have.
But they are changing, though. That's the thing. Look,
right?
Time. You know how people say there's no such thing as time. Time is just the measurement of change and the memorialization of history and things that change. That's all. If there's no change, there's no time. You know, how many times have you heard in literature, it's a literal mechanism where they say this is the place that time forgot because they're still living the way people were living 3,000 years ago, right?
Right, right.
They still have change, but relative to the change that's done somewhere else, it seems like time hasn't, right?
Right. Well, look, this is a rather fascinating sort of, almost like a scrapbook, to be honest with you, of many things that have been gone over. I think we still need to address the concept of spirit, though, a little more. But in the moment that we're in currently during this sonic event, the Greek and I are going to take a little break here, and we'll come back for another hour here on the Ocelli Effect.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com.
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's the gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
The second segment of tonight's Sonic event with the Greek. Now, this is probably the last time you're going to hear this for a while, because going behind a paywall at Ocelli.com for the time being will be a brand new, are we going to call it Ocelli and the Greek again, Greek, or are we going to do something? I mean, I don't know. It seemed to work the first time.
I got a couple of ideas I'll run them by you, and we're going to talk about the spirit, too, in this real world.
Please.
One idea is what if? Mm. Because you don't really know, but you might, look, you know enough that if you see the people around you faltering because they don't know and what you found out about something, right? You get it? So what about calling it what if, right? What if, right? And that's a good way to start into it. But it's still Ocelli in the Greek. That won't go away, okay, right? Because if we go away, then there's no Ocelli in the Greek.
Fair enough.
The other thing I wanted was calling it was rated Y. Because, you know, Y, mm-hmm, you know, Y are the things like this, right? And then, you know, you have X, Y, Z. So X rated X, and then this is rated Y.
Rated Y, okay.
But you could just spell it with the letter Y or WH.
I like the letter Y. That's a good, you know.
Rated Y.
The first network I was ever on, I thought it was very clever. It was called UCY.TV.
Vowel. Yeah. Y. Say it, you know, say it five times. It's soothing.
It can be, actually. Yeah. But I thought that was really clever, Greek. I mean, you got to give it to him there. UCY. You get it? So it's the letter U, the letter C, the letter Y, and UCY.
Yeah. I remember you, on that billing. That was back in the day. That's when I first, when you filled in for Danny at American Freedom Radio, and I checked in and I saw you there. I said, this guy sounds like Alex Jones, but he's not like Alex Jones. Let me let him know. Remember I said, hey, I was supposed to be doing what you're doing.
Right. Well, he had invited you to fill in for Vinny when
he was out.
Yeah, before me. And then, I don't know, I was a guest on somebody's show or something. He said, you know, you ought to try this. I said, yeah, sure, why not?
Sure, yeah, it's all about trying it. That's right. I want to get into something too quick. On the last song that you said there, it says that nobody died from smoking weed. But you know that the whole thing now, they tamped it down a little bit, that cigarette smoking causes cancer. It doesn't, right? The real statistics on that are, by the way, the censorship is so high right now that you can research anything medical. It's very difficult to find if you're using any of the internet. You have to know, be very savvy.
Right.
But the statistics on lung cancer is 85% of the people who have lung cancer have never smoked or secondhand smoke. And 85% of those 85% are either black or Jewish women over 50 years old. Because when you go into the Taoist perspective, like we're going to be talking about the spirit, the non-physical, the lungs are susceptible to grief. So someone who experiences a lot of grief is more susceptible to get lung cancer, dysfunction of the lung, where it's not reparable. So do you think black women over 50 and Jewish women over 50 have a reason to have grief in this society? Heck yeah.
Seems like,
okay. Yeah. So why was there a rash of cancers in the early 70s and the late 60s that made this popular? Now, if you statistically map out where all the cancers were, because everyone smoked before that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it on TV and whatever. And even, you know, anyway, you could look this up. Doctors recommended, you know, smoking certain brands. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Look, I watch footage from the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated all the time. Everybody broadcasting the news. There was an ashtray on the news desk.
Sure. Or they're smoking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Murrow and all these guys. But anyway, if you did a thumb, you know, the map on the wall with the thumbtacks to locate, you know?
Yes.
Okay. Like the old detective shows. If you did where the most amount of cancers were, it was all downstream of Nevada, meaning to the east, because the wind goes from the west to the east. Hardly anyone in California or, you know, west of Nevada had it. There was no lung cancer almost. It was all downstream on the upper half of the country. The reason why is with all the nuclear testing, they were blowing this ionized particles into the air, and people were breathing it, and it was going in, ionizing, you know, radioactive particles in their lungs, irradiating them night and day, creating cancerous tissue. When they went underground only, and they made sure that the detonations were more than 1,000 feet, so the soil would filter out the material, the lung cancer went away. So if you look at when the nuke tests were done, and downwind is where all the lung cancer was, period. Just like polio. Polio was, they were spraying almost from a biblical point of view in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. There were swarms of flies in the day in cities and suburbs and Main Street all over the U.S. Right. People would go out shopping, and suddenly it would get dark. I mean, a black cloud would come over the city or the suburb or Main Street, and what the hell is that? And the flies and bugs would descend on all the passerbys, and they asked, you know, that the municipalities do something about it. So what they did was they went around with trucks, and they were fumigating with DDT. And it found out that DDT, we know, was banned, but it was a neurotoxin. So you couldn't walk. It turned into basically a form of dysphoria, or where the muscle tissue and the nerves don't work together anymore, so you couldn't walk. But when they stopped the DDT spraying and the polio went away, the doctor said, oh, we have a polio vaccine. It was a virus. This is what it did. And they stepped in, right? To, just like with assassinations, and I'm all over the place here, they have the team that does it, right? And then they have another team ready that if it goes south, that comes in and arrests those guys that does it, gets rid of them, and brings in the scapegoat that's always there ready to go. Because, you know, nothing's perfect. If the assassination team doesn't work out, they're promptly arrested, right? And the patsy is produced, right? And everything is okay.
Well, have you ever actually looked up the thing that is commonly referred to as the assassination guide?
I've heard. Is that like the devil's cookbook kind of similar ilk of stuff?
No. It's even weirder than that. The CIA actually memorialized all of its, you know, techniques for how it is that you do this, and literally bringing in the patsy and the teams and all. What you just described is in part of it.
It sounds familiar in that. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
And the thing
this is logical.
People refer to it as the assassination guide. It's literally, they were explaining what they had done in a particular South American country. And
particularly, I could tell you about a North American country.
Oh, yes, so can I. but the thing is, I'm just telling you about this particular document, and if you were to look it up, it literally is there and tells you, you know, there's different types of assassinations. There is the terrorist type. There is the, you know, where we have a sacrificial lamb. All of it, all the different options the menu, if you will. But it's just funny because what you just described is in part of it.
So let's say the shooters did get caught. They would be arrested by their own people and they produce the patsy immediately. But if they don't get caught, the other group doesn't have to reveal itself. Then another group reveals itself as the quote-unquote investigators days and weeks later.
Right, yeah.
That's another group. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's just very funny to me. And anybody wants to do a little digging on their own, I advise you, go ahead and find that, because it's a commonly known
document. You know who assassinates ultimately on a spiritual level? Any leader that's been assassinated, it's been done by his own people. Their complacency.
Right.
The complacency. So who really killed JFK is the American people.
No, that's a guarantee, regardless. Because
the American people killed because of their complacency. If the American people had any worth at all, they would have just especially after the Warren Commission, they would have just stormed the Capitol, stormed all the municipalities, stormed the Congress, just physically, just millions of people would have just walked right through and leveled the place. This has been done before, by the way, in ancient times. Well, you don't hear about that. That's all been taken out.
Right. Well, it's Romans with the knives there with Caesar, yes? I mean, you know.
Even that was a setup. Been set up for 6,000 years. So
right.
You want to talk about spirit?
Yes, absolutely. Because, again, as I said, I got this interesting message. Somebody who had gone back and listened for a bit, and they felt as though it was a little confusing what was presented there. Regardless, and they said, well, to me, spirit is breath. And I said, yes, it is, but you got to listen to the rest of the conversation. But
it's not. Well, that's what's put out there, because what's been done is a very narrow Okay, let's just use the biblical parlance, for example. The Christianity is a historical fact. Historians write we are in the Christian era, and they're atheists. They don't care about their religion. They're just saying this is what dominates. So they'll talk, everyone, pro or con Christian, will talk about anything except what's been documented. Mm-hmm. The same with 9/11, the same with JFK. They'll talk about anything but what you could find in the document itself. So very simply, some Christians say, yes, he was crucified, and if you deny it, you're faithless. And others say, no, he was put on a stake. Others said this, that, the other. Well, if you read the document very clearly, he was subjected to the Roman authorities, ultimately, after going through the other Judean authorities. And that authority very clearly states that he will allow the Judeans to use their law. And they protest, saying, well, how can we do it under Caesar? He says, use your law. I know you have a law, because Pontius Pilate had the area book. They don't send you as a prefect governor over a subjugated people unless you know their laws. He knew their laws, and he knew that capital punishment was done by stoning. Mm-hmm. But we're not that stupid. If we go back to where they get that Mosaic law, the high crime, you're nailed to a tree and stoned while you're hanging from a tree. Right? Mm-hmm. And we know that, right? And then everything is burned. And we know that because they cast lots for his clothes before the event started, because everything would be burned. And you don't want Herod's robe being burned. So there was all this quickness and stuff. So no one addresses that. They'll address everything else but it. But, you know, it's kind of like a teenager, you know, with his first, you know what, in the back seat. He'll do everything but ace in the hole kind of thing, right? So, to make a long story short, the same thing is going on with spirit and soul. They confuse it. If you look up spirit, they'll say it's the soul, blah, 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 blah. And if you look at the soul, they say it's the spirit. Well, wait a second. You can't do that circular logic here, because it's very important to not let people know, not definitively, but enough about something, because then they can do something about it. Mm. Right?
Okay.
You see what I mean? It's kind of like, it might as well keep it, I believe it's this, like this person said, and you believe it's that, but ultimately it's just this ritual. What I mean by a ritual, it's like the wealthy woman with a fur coat. She gets into her BMW SUV, and she doesn't know anything about cars. All she knows is that if she performs this ritual, thusly, the one foot makes the car go, the other foot makes the car stop. And this wheel, if I turn it to the right, the car goes to the right. And this wheel, if I turn it to the left, it goes to the left. And that to her is a ritual. Because if anything happens, she doesn't have a clue of what's wrong with the car. You cannot discuss with her, oh, you know, the hydraulic, you're low on hydraulic fluid on your power steering pump, huh? What does that have to do with the ritual that I've been embarking on for the past 5 years since I've had this car? So when you start speaking about soul, spirit, and body to people who are part of that ritual, like the woman who uses the car as a ritual, she knows nothing about the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bridge that? The first thing is leave it alone.
Mm.
Leave it alone. There are other people out there that like nice. As a matter of fact, people who have, the ones that have car collections, okay, is it like a Jay Leno type guy? They know about the car and know how to work on it. Like if you know anyone who has a Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, they do maintenance themselves as much as they can.
Right.
They don't always take it. But then again, the great majority of those cars are driven by people that don't. They get the car picked up and cleaned, detailed on a regular basis. They get, right? The Ferrari sends out someone to pick up your car. They don't know anything. They're part of the ritual. So the first thing, what's difficult about this, if you believe cognitively and emotionally that you are the concept and this discussion of soul, spirit, and body is a ritualistic sense, you will never understand anything I'm saying. Mm. As a matter of fact, I assure you, you will never understand the differences or what it is. I assure you that. But if you see it from a creator's point of view, a creative, because remember, the creator relies on us to do our part, right?
Right.
Like the guy praying to win the lottery. He prays to win the lottery for a year and a year, every year, every year. And then suddenly he gets down, you know, one day he gets down on his knees and prays, and he hears a voice come through the wall. And he says, listen, we've been hearing your prayers, but you got to do something to help us out. Buy a ticket. Right?
Right, right.
So in other words, if you know that we are created and put here, right,
mm-hmm,
that the creator demands your part also.
Right.
Right? And he tells you what it is. And you know what, if you don't, not the religions, but what's been If you took all the religious texts of the world and put them on sepia and held them up to the light, they all say the same thing, all of them, but the different groups, you see. So just like assassinations, right? If you took all the assassinations and held them up on a slide, they're all the same pretty much, within a couple, but they're all different, right? No, how can they be, you know? Mm-hmm. So the same thing. So if the people view this as something that has to do with quote-unquote spirituality, religiosity, or it's furthering what they think they know have been taught through whatever system of education or religiosity they have, I assure you, you might as well just do something else. Put on Netflix. Don't listen to this. You'll not get it. But if you believe that you have a Ferrari and it's pleasurable to you to, even though you may not know how to work on it, to learn how to work on it and then work on it and reap the benefits, then absolutely.
Well, and then
if you're the lady in the fur coat that thinks it's purely ritual, there's better things to do with your time.
Right. You might as well just make sure you have ready to send it to the mechanic or the detailer or whatever, because that's the person who's actually going to know how to take care of it. Because you're not going to actually do it.
Yeah, and if it's not the car, it's cooking. You know, there's plenty of rituals. You don't want to learn how to cook and enjoy delicious food. There's plenty of pre-cooked meals. There's plenty of fast food, right?
Right, true.
So what is the sense of learning and defining spirit as much as we can is to do something about it. The reason of learning, I keep harping. You ever notice I harp on the body, the container, and the spirit, the soul, right? What mm-hmm. the differences are in these things, right? By the way, the soul is part of the body, right? The soul is the living body, and the spirit is the mind. And we can quickly, from a materialist point of view, like I said earlier, the energy, if you find a plant that is a remedy for a certain ailment, mm-hmm. and it works, when you give it to your common educated, they're going to take the plant. They don't say, give me a sample, and they're going to burn it, take it apart, and find out what chemicals are in it. You see, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the energy of it. So the spirit is the information. If you give a vinyl album or a CD or even a thumb drive of the Beatles' White Album to a material scientist, tell me what's on this. He'll come back with two pages. He'll tell you all the materials, the metals, the size, and everything, but he doesn't see the music. Mm-hmm. You need an appropriate device, whether it's a turntable, a CD player, or to plug it into the USB port that has an audio file to play it, or the record and the needle and the amplifier, or the CD and the laser and the amplifier, to hear really what the spirit of the thing is, information. If you have a CD collection... Mm-hmm. Actually, this happened to me once. You know, when years ago you do more CDs than digital downloads, and you forgot to label something, you have to play it to see what's on the disc.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So if you took all the labels off and you put them in a big pile and tell me what music each one has, how the hell do you know? You have to run it. So that's why we're here, is to run the spirit through this analysis to find out what the spirit is. This is what we're going to talk about, and practical. And I'm gonna stop right here and be reserved. I'm long-winded. I can keep going, but it's not gonna be what the Greek says or what the Greek thinks. It's what you're gonna hear that you could put into use.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna stop right there, and the person who is stuck on ritual, which is an algorithm, by the way, for spirit, right? Like, for example, doing calisthenics and exercise or going to the gym is the algorithm for a stronger body. What do you mean it's an algorithm? I'm actually physically doing work that's making building muscle. Yes, that's right. That's the material side. But the energetic side is, it's a setup. You know what I mean by algorithm. Look it up.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. The pattern.
So a stronger body. Forget about the lifting the weights and the sweat and all that. So the spirit is the same way.
But this is why ritual is important, and this is why, you know, when you do something actually religiously and not based on what they say religion is, when you do something religiously, it is important.
But it's not. It is important, but it's not. The ritual is the collective system that is here. It's negative. It's anti-human. Is banking on and relying on most of the people, if not actually would desire all of the people, to be just in ritual.
But different things done religiously create different results. It's that simple. You and I talked about this before, where it was like, oh, I religiously tie my shoes. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're not going to trip over yourself.
I think what happened, we crossed over here. Okay. If you're just stuck on the ritual, mm-hmm. in other words, if you ask people, why are you doing this? I don't know why I'm doing it. This is the way my mom did it, or my dad did it, or this is the way it's done. I think we talked about, unless I'm as seen on TV people, they're very easy to spot. The 90% of what comes out of their mouth is what they saw on TV.
Right.
And if you ask them to clean or cook or whatever, it's the way that they saw it on TV. Because there's nothing wrong with that, because that's just the age we're living in. Actually, there's nothing wrong with it, but there ain't nothing right either. Just like years ago, if you went to a village, let's say 500 years ago, anywhere in Europe, the way that the women cooked, or anyone cooked, was the way that they saw other people in the village cook. You see what I mean?
Oh,
prepare their food, right? That's why, let's say, for example, northern Napolitano food is very different from the southern Siciliano food, because this is the way they're just carrying on tradition. It's a ritual. This is how they do it. Why? It's Italy. Why is it so different in the north and the south? Because they separated themselves geographically, and they isolated themselves with these things, and they say, well, I'm from here, I'm going to do it this way. So a Napolitan living in Sicily, is he going to cook Sicilian? No, he's going to cook Napolitan. A Sicilian living in Napoli, is he going to cook like Napoli? No. So the thing here about the ritual is, when you have a certain ritual and you go to a place where it's different, you're going to experience resistance, and you have the option to hold on to it, or to change, or to integrate and do the cross-pollination thing you mentioned earlier, right?
Oh, right.
So,
right.
You know, what I'm talking about has got nothing to do with any of that. This is the most basic premise, and why, going back to the definition, why when you look up soul or spirit, they interchange them when they're not. They do the same thing with legal and lawful.
Mm-hmm.
Most attorneys, by the way, don't know the difference between legal and lawful. Most attorneys don't know the difference between an attorney and a lawyer. They're not the same at all.
Mm-hmm.
They interchange them, right?
Right.
Pleasant and nice are not the same, but they're interchangeable. Why? How can you take something as horrid of a definition as nice? That's a horrid definition, horrid meaning as such, foolish, stupid, and interchange it with something that's pleasant and good. How can you make that interchangeable? Well, how can you make a lawyer and an attorney legal and lawful and spirit and soul interchangeable? These things are not hard on their own, but when you make them interchangeable, yes, they're horrid.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Well, it's just like the confusion between psychology and what is actually psychic or... See, here we
spirit.
Go. Psi. This is the spirit.
That's right. Psi is spirit. It has to do with information and mental. Psychopath, psychic. It's all the brain. Right? So if you ask a psychologist, define psi, they don't know.
Right.
Even they're spiritualists. If you got away from the Greek prefix, they would be actually... Instead of being psychiatrist, take away the Greek, well, it would be a spiritualist.
Mm-hmm.
They're spiritualists, and they don't even know. That's the most bizarre. Anyway, you know, I've had many private discussions with people in the medical field and doctors that teach other doctors, and I show them there's no blood pressure, nothing is absorbed, all these other things. They says, yeah, it's amazing, Greek, that you see that. I've been working in this for 30 years, but this is what they tell us to do, so I do it.
Yeah.
That's a moron. That's an idiot.
Well, that's the thing, is why are you doing the thing that you know is, flies in the face of the reality? Why do you do that?
Look, there's a lot of stuff. Look, the one thing, we get into the eschatology. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I tell people what's coming, and this society's got to go. It can't be fixed. You know, you get to certain things, whether it's a bed frame, a car, a pair of shoes, where you shouldn't fix it. It's got to go. It can't be fixed, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's got to you got to start all over. We got to recycle it, right? When I tell this to certain people and they say, is there anything we could do to stop it? That right there, that individual, man, woman, child, whatever they are, they are part of this collective. They don't see the world for what it is. Someone who sees the world for what it is, and is a spiritually more spiritually developed, let's say, and more connected to the divine, wants to see this go. Has to go. You have to restart, reset. It's just, right? So.
It took me a long time to get to that.
That's your first drawing line.
You know, it took me a long time to get to that personally, because for quite a while I wanted to believe that there was a redemptive track here. You know, because you kind of want to believe that. Well, no, this can be rehabilitated. You know, you always want to believe that things can be fixed. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a general default for most people. That they feel as though, it's always...
No, that should be... No, hold on. That should be the first place... Like, if you don't contemplate the subject or know much about it, mm-hmm. or on the fly, that is the correct answer. I believe that's the glass is half full, right? The glass is half full.
There's still
I do that often. Can we fix it?
Yeah.
But upon further examination, it's very evident and very well established it can't be fixed. It's unrehabilitatable. That's a term that I used a lot on the Greek speak, Ocelli in the Greek.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's the thing that it comes down to, is that, look, if after you seek out a way to rehabilitate, to reuse, to repurpose, to redirect, if you find that it's irredeemable, if you find that it's, as you said, you're at a place where this you cannot be rehabilitated.
But it is redeemable. It can be redeemed, but it cannot be improved or changed for the better as it is. Because, for example, let's say you got a car that's completely, you can't be fixed. It's still redeemable for a certain amount as scrap, right?
Yeah, I'm just about in that situation with a 2000 Saturn, actually.
Yeah, but still, all right. So, like they say, the human body is $28 worth of raw material, or the car. Right. I know that the going rate's about $400 or $500, no questions asked,
mm-hmm.
right? But then they subtract another $200 for disposal for the tires, right? So you get $200. Anyway,
yeah.
They advertise, just to get you there. So what I mean is, it is redeemable. In other words, the remnant of what passed through here, what people are, and that's all, I'm going to stay reserved on this.
Okay.
You've downloaded all this music on thousands and thousands and millions of CDs, and they're not labeled, and they're in the big pile, and I want you to, Chuck, go grab the one with the classical music. And you're looking at this huge pile of unmarked discs, right? And you're like, oh, shit, I'll find it someday, right?
Right.
How are you going to sort that? How do you know which one has the classical music on it? There's no way to tell other than playing it.
I'm going to have to start playing them one at a time, find it.
Right. That's exactly what's going on with the spirit here. We're born into this world all, you're born naked, you die, right?
Right.
Rich man can't take it with him. Do you see the analogy?
Well, of course, yeah. Okay. I'm getting there now. We don't know who we are
until we play the music.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, in the next day, in the next month. Definitively, yes, there are certain plans and guidelines, like the cruise ship, right? Everybody's going from London to New York in a cruise ship, but while you're on the cruise ship, you could, do different things. Some of these cruise ships are like cities.
Oh, yeah.
Anything
yeah.
you could do in a city, you can do on a cruise ship. But I could tell you for sure that everyone is going to New York, right? You see, in a bulk fashion, yeah, we know what's going to happen in a bulk fashion, in a bulk way. But in a personal, very minute way, we don't know. But so you're playing the CD to find out what kind of music you can make being here. And there are many ways to play better music. And yes, you have to practice. But if you don't know why you're playing and why you're practicing, and you see,
right.
If you think that you absorb calories and some quack told you that you got high blood pressure when there's no blood pressure, or you're going to catch a virus when your body's 90% virus already, I mean, you're pretty much, you're ready for the scrap heap. It doesn't mean you're not redeemable.
Mm.
But you ain't doing nothing now.
I understand. Okay. So still the unlabeled pile sits there, but as you work through it, you might discover things too.
How much of that music do you have to listen to put the label on it? Should you listen to the first chord, the first minute, or should you listen to it all the way through to be sure?
Well, it depends on the quality of the label you want to put on it. Now, if you want to just give it a general sort of category and move on, that's one thing. But if you want to actually lay out each track and know what's on there,
You just answered your own question, what spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Or the whoever else. We've just presented an example. There's much more to it, because one of the keys to listening to the Greek speak stuff is, if you ever listen to anything the Greek talks about, you've got to put it down, whether it's the first 15 minutes, hour, 2 hours, or whatever, and you have something that you can do within 5 feet around, something usable.
Mm-hmm.
Either something to look up that's readily accessible, or something you can physically do or think about that's readily accessible.
Right. Well, that's what they call practical, no?
That's right.
Hmm. So there you have it. And in the very near future, we're gonna start presenting these, and put them behind a paywall here at Ocelli.com. At least that's the way it'll start out.
Yeah, tell your friends and whatever. I mean, actually, be careful if you got friends, but tell people you know.
You know, there's a subject you and I never touched on, actually, I don't think, where you know, the interpersonal relationship, right?
Yeah, it's a simple way to talk about it. There's people that you consider friends, some you like and you don't trust, and there's other friends that you trust but you don't like. Mm. You know what I mean? Like the guy goes, you love hanging out having drinks or shooting the shit or whatever, but you wouldn't give him your car keys or your house keys. There's other people that you wouldn't want to be seen in the bar with, or you don't enjoy drinking with them, but you would definitely trust them with your house keys or car keys.
There you go.
Right?
There you go. Well, look, there's always different levels of quality that one can discern are contained within. And there you go. We're going to have to talk about these NPCs as well. How to recognize them. I don't think we went over that. You
no, no, I don't. I only do that to a very close circle. Uh-huh. I don't do it in public, but I will do it on this. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is that this won't be exactly in public, but you'll be able to sign up for it. Not you, Greek, obviously, but I mean.
Oh, I already signed up for it. Trust me. I put my. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, that's the thing. You've already agreed to do this. So.
I've already signed up.
Yes, we shall see. We shall see exactly who else does that. I know others said they would, but you know how it is when people say they will do something, and then you wait and see exactly how many will do it.
What I assure people is they'll walk away with a lot more that they thought about anything, when I say anything, literally any subject we bring up, and how simple it is and how it's been there the whole time, and you haven't noticed it. It's kind of like the spaghetti on your shirt, you know. You like the spaghetti so much you didn't realize you splashed some. You know, never wear white, you know, when you're gonna eat a lot of sauce. And yeah. Someone says to you, you got spaghetti on your shirt, but it all makes sense. You got red tomato sauce on your shirt, and he doesn't know that you had spaghetti or whatever, or, you know, but it makes total sense to you when it's pointed out because you just recall eating, right? You see? Mm-hmm. Hey, you got some red stuff on your shirt. I don't know where it's from, but you know, the minute it's brought up, the one with the red stuff on their shirt says, of course. You see?
Mm-hmm. No, look, if you were eating, it makes perfect sense.
The other person wasn't there, didn't know what it was. But the moment it's that small thing is brought up, it makes total sense. You know, years ago, I don't know if you remember, in the 80s, it was these polo shirts. Everybody was doing these logos on the shirt, on the breast area.
The stupid little alligators, and
And it was popular, and it wasn't a really good shirt unless it had that. And when people used to walk in, you know, I said, hey, you got some bird shit on your shirt. And I said, really? I said, yeah, I'd point to the logo. And I said, that's not bird shit. I said, but you know, from a distance, it looked like bird shit. And it makes them think, you know, it's like, what are you doing, you know?
Yeah, well.
You're going to pay, you know, a regular polo shirt was like 15, 20 bucks, and this thing was like 70 because it had the bird shit on it, right? So I'm trying to make them conscious, like, hey, you know.
Yeah, well, and there's the thing. Now that might be an easy way to discern that there was a little bit more quality to it than the one that you got at Kmart without it, but... The thing is,
yeah, but the point is it worth, for the extra little Izod thing sewn on there, is it worth double the price, right?
No, of course not. That's the bottom line is, look, a shirt's a shirt. I mean, what are you doing?
But that's the point. That's the message. The message is, are you aware? Are you fully aware? It doesn't take much more time. Just like sometimes when you say something, you add one little extra word to it, right? And the value goes up. Like I'm not, like earlier I was saying, I'm not at all depressed, angry, sad, or want to challenge any of the history books, whether in library or university, because when I look at the binder or the cover, it says history of whatever, but it never says true history, does it? Mm. So they're telling. So the moment you start arguing that this is false, most people want to argue, but I said, look, there's nothing to debate here because it doesn't say true history, does it?
Well,
so just add that one thing.
Well, because if they were making such a claim, then you might have something to complain about, right? Because
substantive.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's okay.
I got to get a dictionary for my pronunciation.
Every once in a while. A dictionary does serve a purpose, but it's not the purpose that most people try to use it for. Very strange to me that a lot of things are actually designed. That's another thing that we might have to discuss during these two is, you know, there are many things that have a design. They're there for an intended purpose, and nobody bothers with it. There's a whole trend of that on, like, you know, on the, I don't know if you're familiar with TikTok and all this, but.
Well, I avoid it.
There's a short little, they do short little videos, and it's the strangest thing. Some of the most popular people show you things like, do you know that this, you know, the reason why there's a dent in the plastic milk carton and things like this, like stuff that nobody even gives
a
thought
to. Why is there, don't make me go look it up. Tell me.
Well, because what happens is when the milk goes bad, that'll dent out.
Oh, it's a pressure, it's like a pressure sensor.
Yeah, it's like a pressure sensor indicator to show you
Got
that the milk
it. Yeah,
is no good.
Bloated bottle. Yeah, right. I've seen that.
So, and you've seen it before, but nobody ever pays it any mind or thinks it's just a dent on the side of the bottle, so what?
Yeah, that's very crude. It's a crude sensor.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's a practical purpose, or even for the way that they've, you know, when they redesigned the pop top on a can, right? It actually, you fold it over, it holds a straw.
Okay. Well, look up, if you take anyone's listening to this, maybe Ibrahim with an I, Ibrahim Karim, he has a science or a body of work he calls biogeometry,
mm-hmm.
right, on how certain geometric forms affect the environment for positive or negative. A simple way to do it is, you know, they paint the gaudy colors in fast food restaurants so you don't want to sit there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
That's a very simple application of it, but it gets more complex. It gets complex to the point where form follows function, where you should always keep water in containers that don't have 90 degrees, you know, in an egg shape or round, right? Yep. Eventually those forms and geometric forms actually increase the quality of the environment.
Right, which we talked about on a private discussion.
Right, and we'll get into it a little bit more. We're going to get into treatment of water that will blow you away, and you'll be able to do it as you're listening.
Well, yeah, I've actually only been partially privy to that, and, you know, just the changing of the shape of the container you put it in, and mm-hmm. also its exposure to light or lack thereof. And things like this absolutely
keeping
change
it cool.
the quality. Yeah, keeping it
cool.
cool.
But we're going to go, we're going to talk about things you can do with your own, you know, your body emits a magnetic field, a thermal field,
mm-hmm.
a light field, right, infrared. They call it thermal, but it's really light. A magnetic field, electrical field, and how to use that with water. That's going to be, and you could do it right away and notice the difference.
Well, that
and we're
going to
talk about the emotional component a little bit more also.
Well, that'll be interesting because I know during that discussion I talked to you about the different, you know, like vibrations that you could kind of put out at the water and then they froze it. Now, by the way, when he says keep it cool, it's not keep it cold. It's keep it cool. There's a specific tolerance there.
It not frozen. Yeah, because right. that is below that temperature, the water expands. Above that temperature, the water expands.
But when you expose water to, like, say, angry vibes, so to speak, you know, in a very crude way, we'll put it that way, like angry vibes, and you freeze it, and then also you freeze, like, you know, positively, calmly dealt with water, and you freeze it next to each other, the ice crystals form differently.
Oh yeah, we'll go beyond that because when you expose those vibes are merely the carrier.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's the line of sight, and once you have that established, then you send the message. We've never talked about how to send the message.
No.
Well, I have privately. Again, I kept it for private, but I think it's time to speak it in a more private group again.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of fun. All this stuff you'll be able to use right away.
Well, and these are just some of the things I'm just bringing up to give people an idea about what it is that we'll be developing over time there. Because a couple of weeks, I guess, we'll start with and see how that goes. so you guys will see a new tab come up at the top of Bocelli.com, which you think Rated Y is the label?
So I think ONG Rated Y, yeah, maybe.
Okay, you got it.
Maybe, or What If. I think we could do a series Rated Y and What If, or just ONG.
In the future, we could expand to another series and call that, you know.
Yeah, the ONG I like because we live in an acronymistic language infused in the regular parlance, right? Like
right.
when you say WTF, they actually use that. when people speak, or AF, right?
Right.
OG, when I've heard a lot of young people say that's real OG. That means like original gangster,
original
or something,
gangster,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's funny. ONG as opposed to OG, which is a little, you know, you get that bit of a.
It's there.
Yeah, it's
everything.
There.
Everything we need to show that we. At least look like we know what we're talking about is already there, right?
Fair enough. So separate from the regular subscriptions that I have at Ocelli.com will be this.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, so just it'll show up as a new membership level, entirely different, and I'm going to talk to the Greek a little bit privately. Although we've been doing it publicly tonight, we're going to talk a little more privately about the particulars, but I'm thinking that we'll
just,
be able to...
We're always having private conversations that just happen to be broadcast and recorded in some way or another. It's the story of my life.
Fair enough. But, you know, again, it's always worthy of the effort to memorialize something that contains information that's worth sharing, right?
Well, to an acceptable vessel to receive it, mm-hmm. You don't want to put fine wine in a paper cup.
Oh, understood. But I mean, just going back to the pile of CDs you were talking about, you know.
Yeah.
Some of those CDs might contain, what's alleged to be music that's not even worthy of keeping. You might want to just throw it away without labeling it because.
Yeah. I think there's enough fate and things that we don't know that are preset that doing this will bring more people that I've never heard.
Excellent.
Perhaps, or have heard and want to revisit and go to the next level with it. Or whatever, you know.
I think it needs
to be done. It's kind of, I mean, it's really pathetic out there. But by the way, what's pathetic is communication, people's personal ability to communicate, the communications that are broadcast out there, all this. Now, I said earlier the internet was going to be compromised just because it's part of travel, right? Mm-hmm. Restricting travel, right?
Right.
And you see the lockdown was about restricting travel, right? Right? Well, until it was plausible to do so. Here are your signs. One of them is that there's a lot of pushback on people trying to revive ham radio. They made it illegal in certain counties in California, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing is YouTube is promoting shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who has YouTube and they're like, oh, they're promoting shorts like crazy. Why? Because when it goes down, if you've got, piles and piles of half hour videos and you lose it, you're going to be upset. Mm-hmm. But if you've got oogles and piles and of these little shorts, they're shorts, see? Mm-hmm. So they're telling you to start trivializing. In other words, stop focusing on you see?
Right.
The other thing is there's going to be also limitations on the post office. So what I'm trying to say here is people with an engineering and an intuitive mindset need to get together and develop a new form of communication. It could be a mixture of digital, but I'll tell you what it has to be a mixture of. Sorry. Let me rephrase. The outline of a new engineered communication system will be a snail mail type combined with a radio type, ham radio, which, is very long wave, mm-hmm. combined with digital. But not just the internet, right? Like, if you don't have a Wi-Fi or a plug-in connection, you're not going to get stuff on the internet. You know, they have the satellite thing, too, but those will shut down, see, because they're going to work it on the Google itself, right, or whatever, the systems that carry all the servers and things. So it still should be digital, mm-hmm. even though digital takes more energy than analog when you're doing a phone call, by the way.
Yeah.
It still should be parcel and post of some sort, but not the postal system that everyone's used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be still radio, but not the ham radio that they, but it's a fusion of all three. The Pony Express, yeah. Right, with the radio, with the internet put together, and for those of like mind. Because those of, the masses and the collective, they're just going to panic or be unhappy.
Well, let me throw something at you because I started discussing this a few months ago with somebody and I was talking about how I think we're all going to, if we want to continue to do broadcasts and things like this, that we're going to need to find a new way because
yep.
I definitely see that this is all going to be very suppressed, controlled, and only going to be available to those that are allowed to have it available to them. And what I was saying is I found it interesting that they have these AM signals that you are perfectly allowed to use right now because of all the changes. They've switched over a lot of things to digital. But, like, literally, you or I could easily purchase the equipment to have our own little AM signal, right?
That's right. You want to take it, you want to tweak that, okay? You ready? Mm-hmm. You want to tweak that where you don't put it out through the air, because AM need a ground antenna, a very large ground antenna, basically. If you ever see the old AM radio stations being built, they would dig a trench around the place.
Well, these are low power AM stations that are outside, like, in other words, the FCC does
because they're more liberal about that. But what I'm saying is you don't put your antenna in the air, you put your antenna in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And you have to have the sensitivity and the what's called the separation, mm-hmm. right, from all the other stuff that's going through the ground. So you're not pumping it, because I was going to say earlier, to do AM radio, mm-hmm. the old stations, if you saw one being built or plans on one, they dig a trench around the building, a very large trench, not mm-hmm. very deep, 6 feet deep or so, and they put what looks like a chain link fence, and mm-hmm. they bury it.
Right.
That's your ground. You need a mean ass ground. That's why they used to have a lot of the radio stations near the shore, mm-hmm. because of the wet sand and the wet, right, better, lower resistance. Tesla talked about that. But again, just like with Tesla, it was very hard to talk about Tesla because he was not an engineer. He didn't use engineering terms. But the thing is, to have a radio system, like, there are videos with Eric P. Dollard where he goes to a fire hydrant. He has this little tweaked crystal radio. Mm-hmm. He attaches a wire. This is from a 30, 40-year-old video, mm-hmm. if it's still online. And he attaches a very small wire to a fire hydrant, which has got pipes underground. Mm-hmm. And he's picking up radio in China.
Yeah, I remember those, actually. I thought that was really fascinating, sort of turning the underground infrastructure into the antenna, basically, so that you could pick up stuff from all over the place. Yeah.
You find something like, well, you have your water mains. That's why they're switching everything to plastic, right? Mm-hmm. But what's really also good is a defunct gas station that still has the tanks in there. They pull the tanks out now, but mm-hmm. something like that. And you do your Skype or your Zoom or your whatever on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm talking about can be done now with all the existing technology. You just need someone to be able to put it together. And I know how to do it, by the way. I haven't perfected it. I do have but it would be very good if other people that are willing to work on this type of system mm-hmm. would come forward.
Yeah, see, now I would love to figure out how it's done and participate in it. I am not the engineering guy, though, you know. But I have a feeling there's something I could do to assist with it. I just don't know. I don't know all about
sure.
it yet. But
we're all in that. We're all in the same position that we might know a lot more than someone else does, but we don't know everything about it. Mm-hmm. But when you get enough people together, then we'll have, especially people that don't know anything about it, that have an engineering mindset, they'll say, "Did you ever try this? We never thought of it." Because,
right.
you know, so.
Right. And in this case, sometimes you have somebody who has just a set of tools as opposed to the knowledge of how to build it. You know what I mean? And there you go.
Right,
somebody
right.
who knows.
Yeah.
Somebody who understands that engineering, you know, and the concept of, you know, exactly how the magnetic interaction and all that, which is an element to that, which I know very little about. And I dare say a lot of people don't know much about it.
But it's all the same. Magnetism, electricity, heat, light, they're all just like water, ice, and steam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But the thing is that if you don't understand how these things interact with one another, it's difficult to create the circumstances to generate the kind of thing that, yeah,
sure.
you could create a broadcast. Like, reception is one thing, but broadcast is another, right? So,
well, this is what I want to drill home, is mm-hmm. this system that I'm talking about is equal.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's equal. It's almost on a scalar capacity.
Okay.
In other words, it's kind of like we're not concerned about reception when we're on Zoom or Skype.
Mm-hmm.
You're on and you're on. There's no better on, or, you know, there might be bars of Wi-Fi or whatever. That's why I think it's going to be a hybrid of the digital, the AM, the underground AM,
mm-hmm.
and the post. Because the reason you need a post and parcel is because if someone doesn't have the physical stuff, you have to get it to them, right, somehow?
Oh, of course. Well, you know, transportation of goods and services and people, this is exactly what creates the circumstances, whether they are for better or for worse, for anything to evolve or to devolve, right? So, I mean, it's just a real-world situation. You have to be able to move people, things, and knowledge mm-hmm. from one place to another. Otherwise, it just stays in one place and does nothing. So,
right, but that's okay if you don't make too much and you're just making it for your local community, which is what you're going to be seeing. That, they tried that in the 80s. Do you remember in the 80s and 90s in the urban cities, they started doing these urban gardens, right? Where
yes.
buildings were, right? Okay.
Yes.
They gave a little attention. Those still exist, but there's no talk about it. So more of a less centralized, more scattered, is where it's going to be. But look, you're from a spiritual, again, and moral and ethical perspective, the mm-hmm. worst things are getting, when the things really get bad, people are going to think they're fine. When people think, let's say now, things got bad or whatever, that's just a show. That's not real. In other words, like, for example, I tell, you know, this thing about inflation, which I've been talking about a long time already, if what they're trying to do is double the, you see, during the Depression, I don't want to make this talk about my, real quick, mm-hmm. the Depression was fully orchestrated. There's stuff written about it, even from the Federal Reserve itself. People didn't use checks and credit cards, and everything was cash. That's why when you look at a movie, the black and white, and it's a corporate office, the president of the company, what was always in the back of the office? A big safe.
A big safe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because everybody got paid in cash. So what they did, they decided to stop, create a cash shortage. So at the end of the week, they couldn't pay. There was plenty of goods and there's plenty of money. They just prevented people from getting cash. So if you worked at a factory that made electric fans, the president of the company says, look, I went to the bank that told me no cash is available to pay you, so you could take as many fans as you want for payment. So mm-hmm. the employees did that, and they go to get milk, and he says, I don't want, you know, they produce the fan to the store owner, and he says, I don't need any more fans. He says, look down here, I got 10 fans already. What am I going to do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So everything stopped. It took a couple of months. Okay, so now what they can't take the cash away because there's 90% of the population relies on, you know, everything else, checks and whatever. So
digital.
So what they're going to do now is just if you raise the prices so much, and the people raising the prices are the ones that are going to get all the profit, and but you keep the salaries and the wages low,
right?
It's the same thing, right? Basically, as if you have not, right?
Right.
They're doing that in New York right now, where the rents have tripled in 2 years. So in other words, if you're working a salary or a wage and your salary, there's no plans on your salary doubling within a year or at least 50% more, you're going to have hard times.
Right.
Period. This is I talked about a long time ago. You cannot create a depression anymore because there's no money. It's all credit. It comes out of your signature. Right. Right? So the reason they're doing this is twofold. I do understand why they're doing it, is because they've very publicly announced that they took all your money away and have you running on credit for 90 years, and no one's making a big deal about it. So they're like, you know, let's go out. It's the same thing like the little spoiled boy who has all the toys,
mm-hmm.
and he's tired of playing with all the toys. So now the next thing to do is to go out with a magnifying glass and burn some insects. Or tie the dog up when no one's around and torture them, right? You see?
Right.
Sick. So this is the level that the administrators and the elite, you know, are being telling people, look, these people are, let's just start screwing with them. Cause we're tired of shooting fish in a barrel.
Right.
So it's all going to be, and it's the people's fault. You know?
Mm. Well, and that's,
there is no debt. I tell people, look, credit card, there's no debt. They got it from your signature. They send you a bill at the end of the month to make it seem like there's a debt. But there's laws, FTCPA, that says, look, you just deny it, and they have to prove it. And every time, if they can't prove it, every time they send you a letter, it's $500. That you can fine them with. So you just get, you know, tell a credit card company, hey, go pack sand. I don't owe you anything. They're going to keep sending letters. Just keep collecting those letters. You get 10 letters, that's $5,000. And you just do a federal case against them. They're going to say, okay, we got to pay. You can actually make a living doing this.
This confuses me.
This is the FTCPA regulations, but there's enough people, thousands of people that figured it out, that they're starting to change the verbiage a little. Verify is not it. It has to be validated. Because say, we verified it, but verifying is validated means it has to be a sworn statement that you owe. Mm-hmm. And nobody does anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Now, obviously, there's a bunch of people out there, entire groups, that if you have a car or a house, they try to repossess. It's called a secured loan. They take it from you, right? Even then, they don't have the right. But that's the way it's done, you know? But not enough people care. So actually, they get what they deserve. That's what I'm saying. You cannot fix what's here.
You
could quietly live off of credit cards and make a pretty good living just by using them and denying and having them send you letters. Yeah. And it doesn't go on the credit report either. If they put it on the credit report, it's another $1,000 fine.
I haven't had a credit card in I don't know how many years now.
I've never had one.
When I got divorced, my access to all that went away.
Well, there's no reason for that either.
I know.
Because they have to create plausibility. The reason why you pay utility bills, it's all paid for. The reason you pay for it is to make you feel like the paycheck you're getting is worth something. So imagine all the utilities they're paid, so you would call them free, but they're not, they're already paid. Everything is paid for, even the food and the whatever. We talked about this the last time. Nowhere does any of the big stores say you must pay here before you leave. Nowhere. They can't do that legally or lawfully, because it's all paid for.
But they call it
shoplifting,
right.
Don't they? They don't call it stealing.
True.
You notice? Very careful with the words. Shoplifting. Okay, so if you're shopping and you're lifting something, a bag of flour, isn't that shoplifting? Anyway, so this is the thing. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff, imagine that you walk into a store, you get all the groceries, it's already paid for, your utilities are already paid for, and you get this paycheck, right, at the end of the week. You're like, screw the boss. I don't need this paycheck. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You get it? So what happens if enough people say, screw the boss, I don't need this paycheck, and they leave the water running all day or the heat on max burning all this fuel and the doors open and you tell them, hey, why don't you conserve? Screw you, it's already paid for. You see, that's why the people that are here cannot partake in the next society that's coming. If one person, let's say you believe the numbers and there's 300 million people in the U.S., right?
Okay.
If one person did that, screw the boss, I'm not doing it, I'm going to let the water run, I'm going to let the electricity run, it's already paid. One person out of 300 million people has that attitude, that's enough for the spiritual police to shut it all down. Just one out of 300 million. And I'm telling you that almost 299,099,000 are that way. Not just what you see. So the chances of you getting what is actually reaping the benefits of what is really happening. In other words, what is really happening? There is no money. You're living on credit. Your credit. Everything is paid for, and you will not reap that benefit. I don't know you personally enough, well enough to say definitely not you, but that because there is someone in your society that will take advantage of that and be reckless with it. That's why you're not reaping the benefit, and the chances of it turning around is like 0.00000000, like pi. The chances are finding 1,000 people in this whole country that would be concerned is slim to none. So that's why it has to go. And the people that know this, know the way that the people have been raised are, know that this has to go. This society has to be wiped clean. In other words, a mop-up crew. And physically remove them, physically remove their structures, the infrastructure, homes, them, their children, everything has to be swept away, physically. The spirit part remains. The information remains. The resonance. That's why I like those sci-fi movies where, you know, the aliens or whatever are visiting Earth and they're chasing someone down and they go into the room. Oh, they left an hour ago. But it doesn't matter because they spray the stuff on the glass and they could hear what they said an hour ago because the glass is still resonating, right?
Right.
Just like they could shoot a – when you say laser, it's people think sci-fi. You know, you see the beam. Most lasers are invisible to the eye. You can have an intelligence officer sitting, as long as he has a line of sight to the window that you're in, he could record your conversation because the laser will sense the sound on the,
right?
On the window. As long as they have line of sight. And by the way, it could be done by satellite.
Yeah.
So
That's something that I actually learned a couple of years ago, is that this whole thing with being able to turn the windows of a house, regardless of whether the shades or the curtains are drawn or anything else, you can literally be aware of every single thing going on, every single word being spoken, every sound.
Right.
Just from the residents. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they're even replacing radar with LADAR, which is laser, right? So these little, which is coherent, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say here is that the people that are here now will not be able to reap the benefits and privileges and rewards and rights of all of the things they already have access to because of that spiritual problem of putting negligence in the right place, doing what's right in the right place, right? You see, so because right now, like I said, I'm just going to repeat myself again. Everything is paid for. There is no reason for want or need. Or everything is paid for completely. It's provable legally. It's provable lawfully. The worst thing about it is that it's proven even legally within their own system. No one has any debt. Everything you ever bought has already been paid for before you did it. The reason it's done is because once you're aware of it, you will misuse it. And that's the potential of the misuse and the negligence is why you will not reap the benefit of what is. I'm not talking about some society to come. You are living in it where everything is already paid, but you are not going to get it because it's the behavioral control to make people subjected to this tyranny of what is it called, being motivated by penalty. Mm-hmm. right until that, you see, it's, and it only takes a little bit of, you don't have to change much, a little bit of self-awareness. You know, if 5 or 10% of the people started speaking on just what I'm saying right now, that could change, well, what would have to happen? It would change maybe another 5 or 10%, and then the 30 to 50% that will not change, that's where you get into the scenario where you go to a future Earth and there's a certain planet or a country that's all the savages,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the other island, a lot of stories written about that, and the other island is they're very civilized and they have to defend themselves from those savages, right?
Right.
So you're going to have to separate. You cannot do this to everyone. It's already established. Half the people, a third of the people have to be separated into their own walled confinement, something where they cannot come out into the rest of the world where we know everything. We already can take all the benefits and rights and privileges and all of the work that's been done to get us to this point where everything's already paid for, right? The other savages will not.
There ever. You go. And you're going to hear a lot more of this, again, in the very near future as we go to this behind the paywall on Ocelli.com. I guess we're going to call it ONG Rated Y. So we'll go
right.
forward with that in the very near future, and we're done with this public discussion for tonight. But we'll be talking to you soon. If you subscribe, that's the way it'll go.
Get ready for it. Starring the mad prophet of the airways,
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's the gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.